tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend as we are getting closer and closer to the All-Star Game. You know what the All-Star Game signifies to me, and the reason I bring up sports now, is it's the midway point for the marathon that is America's pastime, and that would be Major League Baseball, right? But we're in a different kind of marathon when it comes to the debt dealings in D.C. And we're more than halfway to the point when Tim Geithner says, oh, we're going to default on the loans. And it's going to be like the second Great Depression in this country. So get ready. He's been spouting that now for probably 3 or 4 months, maybe even longer, but on the record, at least 3 or 4 months. And he made the Sunday circuit again, warning that it's going to hurt for so long if we don't figure out a way to solve the crisis, meaning he's saying just lift the debt ceiling. He's not even going into the politics of it all. In fact, he's name-calling the politicians, just saying it's all about them trying to do their politics on both sides of the aisle, but he just wants to see it lifted. And, of course, he's the Secretary of the Treasury, so he knows what he believes will be like a Scud missile slamming into the U.S. But here's the thing. We are and could pay on the interest if it's that difficult. Because all of this is just a shell game anyway, and don't we all know that at this point? But I want you to hear Tim Geithner in his own words. Here he is.
The United States is not going to default. We are a country that pays its bills. We're going to meet our obligations. If Congress doesn't act by the second, they will downgrade our credit, first time in history. And if that happens, you're going to see catastrophic damage across the American economy and across the global economy. We have to have some shared sacrifice. We have to find a way to avoid shifting more of the burden of the tax system to the middle class. It's going to take a balanced approach. His view is we're going to keep at it. He's going to bring people together, and we're going to keep trying to push people to find areas for compromise. That's the thing presidents have to do. That's what the leaders in the House and the Senate have to do. We know this is very hard to do, but they should not walk away now from trying to do something good for the country.
All right, so get used to hearing those words together, shared sacrifice. That's going to be the new buzzword. It's a shared sacrifice, America, and it's something that we all have to struggle with and deal with to make this go away. Although they're not going to say go away. To attack the problem, to come up with the solution. The shared sacrifice is the solution. So here's the bottom line. The Senate Dems drafted their own form of a debt reduction plan that would basically lop off $4 trillion from borrowing over the next decade. So that's $4 trillion, 10 years. And it doesn't go into health and retirement programs, none of that. The Senate Dems are proposing to take a knife at the Pentagon and some other government agencies and throw in $2 million in new taxes. Mostly, we go back to the same thing, on families earning more than $1 million a year now. So now it's $1 million a year. And this is the back and forth and the theater that it's been for the last 6-7 months, really. And now it's happening at the White House. The president and several congressional leaders from the Democrats and from the Republicans, too. So the Senate Democrats are very unlikely to, I think, jump on that plan anyway. Although there are some that like the idea of solving the budget problem without cutting or making any kind of cuts to Social Security or Medicare. So that's what the push is going to be there. Specifically, they'll keep saying Social Security and Medicare. Remember, heading into the weekend, the Senate Budget Committee Chair, Kent Conrad, went to the White House and he talked to Obama and Biden on what the plan was, which would differ from the other plan, but the House Speaker, John Boehner, Republican, and some other people have come up with. They're really reaching for that $4 trillion. At this point, you know what? At this point, it doesn't matter because they're so crazy, the numbers that are being thrown around, and yet they don't really completely solve the problem. It's unrelatable. You think about getting a loan. Think about borrowing money and how you have to pay it back, obviously. And what happens when you don't pay it back? Well, when you borrow from nefarious kind of people, they break your limbs. When you borrow from a bank, they'd probably like to break your limbs, but they try to break you in half in other ways. And you don't get a free ride. Anybody out there getting a free ride on a loan when they have to default on it? And they're saying, hey, it's through no fault of my own. This horrible thing happened, this horrible. It doesn't matter. Sob stories don't work. And sob stories aren't working with the American people. I mean, you know, the blame game thing, we're tired of the blame game thing. I think I'm speaking for a lot of the people that are so smart that call this program. Are you not tired of hearing that? Are you not tired of it's their fault, it's his? It doesn't matter. I mean, we're in this. We're in this. And it's probably because we elected the wrong people. For decades, we've been obviously electing people who couldn't pay attention to what the bottom line was. Because it was about getting elected. Say what you have to say to get elected. Say what you have to say to get elected. It's a very easy thing to remember. Say what sounds right. So, under some of the blueprints that are floating around, including the one that I just told you about, the $4 trillion lop-off, the top income tax rate would rise to 39.6%. Now, that's for people who earn more than $500,000 a year and families earning more than $1 million. And that would be the richest 1% of households, which it still wouldn't be hardly anything. So I say hardly anything because it's not going to make up that money. They also would pay a 20% rate on capital gains and dividends rather than the 15% that they pay now. In addition to that, you start to break it down, and only about $80 billion would be cut from Medicare and Medicaid and some of the other health programs, and absolutely nothing from Social Security. That wouldn't be touched whatsoever. But it, you know what? We've been down this road before. And we're not gonna see this. This is not gonna happen because they're playing chicken with the dollars, basically. Monday we'll hear the same thing. Tuesday we'll hear the same thing, and we're gonna keep hearing this, as all of us know, until we get to the end of the road, which is the beginning of August. And the Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, who you just heard, pretty much says, we have to have the shared sacrifice, or it'd be catastrophic for the economy, and that no responsible leader would say the United States of America, for the first time in its history, should not pay its bills or meet its obligations. What do you think? Are we welching on what we owe? Do you think that's a possibility? Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. July 8th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,527.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,566.41, $783.21 for a half ounce, or $391.60 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,566.41, $783.21, and $391.60.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I have teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter ounce pure gold coin. For only $440 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
With the debt ceiling being lifted or not, meaning do we default on the loans? Here we are again. Kate Delaney with all of you across this great nation debating on our own what the politicians can't seem to solve. The $14 trillion and counting question. So I got to throw this in. I talked about Tim Geithner. He was on Face the Nation. I think he was also on Meet the Press. You had Senator Jim DeMint, who never is accused of mincing words, staunch Republican from South Carolina, of course. And he says, look, this crap of the warnings is just irresponsible. There certainly would be disruption, but it's not a deadline we have to rush and make a deal for. What's the potential fallout of this? And what people forget, and somebody kindly reminded me of this 2 weeks ago, there was one time back in 79, and I know some of you might remember it, some of you might not. I didn't remember it, but there was something that happened in 79 that sort of gives us the kaleidoscope of a similar problem, because there was a kind of a stalemate on Capitol Hill. Congress was playing that game with the debt limit back then. They raised it to $830 billion. Oh, seems like a drop in a bucket, doesn't it? Compared with the $14.3 trillion we're talking about now. And then the Treasury Secretary was Michael Blumenthal, who said that the country was hours away from the first default in its history. Oh, what if we don't do this? Our credit ratings will drop. Will be the laughingstock of the world, and more importantly, it'll throw us into a catastrophe. So there was a last-minute approval, and then there was also a push of investor demand for Treasury bills, and then there were some problems with paperwork, gee, really, and that resulted in thousands of late payments to holders of Treasury bills that were maturing. And they didn't get what they were supposed to get. So the thing is, it was an inadvertent I guess, default because of what happened there, the backlog of the paperwork. And I guess the Treasury missed payments on about $120 million worth of bills, $120 million. Of course, now we're talking about an astronomical amount of money, so tough in one sense to compare. But interesting, the same thing, the screaming that things would never be the same if we let this happen. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How you doing, gorgeous?
See, now in Canada, you don't have to worry. You're not talking about defaulting or any of that nonsense there. You're talking about other things.
Right. Right. Well, let's see. If William would have been born in Canada, he would have been a good hockey player because he went up because he went up to the Northwest Territories and he saw a street hockey game, and he even took a couple of wrist shots at the out of three wrist shots he scored two. So some people said, just think, if he would have gone to school here or even been born here, maybe he might have been a good hockey player.
Wow! And so they were a big hit in Canada. Everybody's been talking about that. How Kate Middleton came across and how he came across, and I had no idea he did that, however. And now they're in Los Angeles. They went to Skid Row. They did the whole Hollywood thing. And,
which us Canadians or some British commentators didn't like. I mean, it was just basically go black tie, rub the shoulders with A-list celebrities, not meet the normal. I mean, they went to Skid Row, fine. But like some royal commentators were saying, well, I think if it wasn't for Skid Row, it would have been just basically almost like a private trip. That's the way some of them looked at it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But here's the thing: if you're going to go to L.A., what do you think you're going to do in L.A. when you're the Royals?
True.
You're going to go and you're going to end up doing what everybody else does. But only you're not going to go to the Grauman's Theater.
Right.
You're not going to do that because you're going to be in the middle of whatever the A-list party is they're going to throw for you. So that's what they did.
Right.
They threw a big party in downtown L.A. in some Art Deco palace. And, they did a fundraiser, so that's a good thing anyway. They were celebrating a bunch of different things, including the British Academy of Film and Television Arts, I guess. That was their big thing.
Sure,
sure. So that's what they played it up as.
Right.
And everybody who was anyone was there. The Jennifer Lopez's.
Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Barbara Streisand.
Absolutely.
Oh, yep. you mentioned that tax on people making over $1 million.
Uh-huh.
I think you just described about every pro athlete who's playing pro sports in the United States. You knew I was going to throw some sports analogy in there, but are we talking like CEOs?
It would be if the tax bracket is raised and you make that amount of money. Yeah, that would be anybody who makes that amount of money, whether you're an actor, an athlete, a CEO, whoever you might be, you would fall into that bracket. But it still would not be enough money anyway in what we're talking about with the $14 trillion.
Right.
So it seems almost ridiculous. I mean, really what it is politicking. How do you get reelected? You play to whatever the base is. You play to whatever your constituents want to hear.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening, and that's part of the problem. The machine is really, truly broken, and it's because of that. It's because of having to placate, running again, being in these committees, these various committees where you really owe someone something, and it's all about lobbying for those votes. And unfortunately, the one thing they weren't paying attention to, of course, there might be some debt, there might be borrowing, a nation this size, et cetera, and hitting certain rough waters. But if that was going to happen, somebody still needed to mind the store and say, whoa, I mean, it's getting just a little bit out of hand, don't you think? So we need to cut back here, and we need to cut this nonsense out. But the problem is then you're also talking about cutting jobs, government programs, all that kind of stuff. People are going to be protective about that.
Right.
And that riddle should have been solved a long time ago, too.
Right, because I have friends who live in the States that are like my age, 52, you know, in the 50s, who are saying, well, I have enough money to retire.
I mean,
way back when in their parents' day, they had the union pension and Social Security. Now it's like, I may not even have the union pension. You know, so a lot of them are worried. So, you know,
and it should be worried. I think if somebody's in the middle class, especially, I mean, that's why mm-hmm. now being an entrepreneur, especially in the United States, is so big, because the only way you're going to have a shot at making enough money is by owning your own business. Because the problem is, as you just said it, those pensions aren't really going to be there anymore. It's not the same kind of a work environment that it used to be. It's going to be tough to find those plum jobs. And so a lot of people striking it out on their own, that's going to be the way to try to make a decent living. But the other problem for many people listening to me right now can relate to this, Sam, in Illinois, in Michigan, in Vermont, they know this. When you have your own business, you still have to be able to get those tax breaks, because that's part of it. If they close up loopholes that affect the small businesses, that's why all the rancor about small businesses, then your hands are going to be tied. You're not going to be able to start those businesses, because half the time you can't get the loans.
Yeah, this is true. This is quite true. So the next little while is going to be most interesting. I guess in next year there's a presidential race. So I mean, Obama's going to have to worry. Obama's going to have a lot on his plate. So. I mean, with all due respect to people who voted for him, I think he's only a one-term president. At least that's from another country heard from.
You know what? A lot of people are saying the same thing, that we're all so tired of what's happened that it doesn't matter that there's nobody. I don't think there's anybody that's strongly taking the mantle on the other side, although it seems to be right now Romney that – we'll see how it shakes out. Right now, the numbers are dipping a little bit. It is about the economy. It's about what people are making or can't make or being foreclosed on. So we'll see. 2012 is going to be interesting. More interesting than I thought, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you heard, but U2 was here for two concerts here in Montreal.
Ooh, blowouts.
80,000 both nights, and where they had it was not too far away from where I live, so I came home from work early Friday. I was able to hear them rehearse.
See, there is something about location, location, location. Thanks, Sam.
Okay, take care.
80,000, that's a huge crowd. Wow. Wow. All right, hang with us. Coming up next, we're hoping to go to Oslo. Thanks with us. Hang with us.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrideKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrideKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrideKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrideKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Hey, Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to soupbeansurvival.com.
Soupbeansurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian, the number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at soupbeansurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-0996. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Yes, Beat the Burden seems to be this $14 trillion plus, and we're talking about the deficit ceiling and whether or not we're going to default, and what does that mean, and Tim Geithner saying it's the end of the world, and it's going to be like the second Great Depression. Kate Delaney, America, tonight we go out to our money man, Saul Album, who is now living in Oslo, Norway, which happens to be, as we told you last week if you were paying attention, one of the most expensive places to live in all of the world. Hey, Saul, are you standing there with your tin cup?
Yeah, for my $30 burger, yes. But the only end of the world I see is the end of the Harry Potter franchise. I mean, that's just going to be the big tragedy, is that, you know, we just can't go and take our kids or take our friends' kids to see the wand waving but there's new beginnings, of course. You know, Kate Hudson and Victoria Beckham both gave birth over the weekend, so you know those are the big things that we're looking forward to. Which, believe it or not, actually hit both articles hit the front pages of this small little city here. So we have death and birth, a new tragedy, and we're just going to keep going, and hopefully we'll have some more births too.
Yeah, no kidding. And Victoria Beckham had a girl, so that was a big deal because she has a gaggle of young sons. So that was a huge news. And I don't know, Kate Hudson had a girl or a boy. I didn't see that. I'm not sure.
No, I didn't get a chance either.
She had a child.
I can be perfect in finance, but it's hard to keep up with
gossip.
With Kate. Yeah, my girlfriend Kate. Yeah, she it's hard to keep up with her. Okay, go ahead, Kate.
Exactly. So why? What's so expensive? Before we dive into that, what's so expensive about Oslo? Why is it so expensive?
Okay, so basically, you have a lot of tariffs and protectionism. And you have very high labor costs. You have their minimum wage is, I believe, anywhere between $40,000 to $50,000 a year. So,
wow.
Like, if you work at McDonald's, that's just your labor rate. Okay. So that basically passes it on. So on July 4th, my wife took me to, try to do some American stuff, and she took me to McDonald's, and which it's very funny, you know, you come up here, you know, from the States, you'd hear that, it'd be like, oh no, but here it's like a very expensive thing to go to McDonald's, and I don't know, it's like $60 for two menus, for two like number ones with extra special patty or something like that. It's very tough. So and secondly is they have a lot of subsidized farming and food, and they don't allow other food to come in. So basically, in order to support their way of life, it's basically like, you know how we have in the States, you have the corn farmers that are subsidized for the ethanol. Well, basically everything over there is subsidized also, which pushes up the prices. And they can get away with it because they're not off invading other countries, and they have a lot of oil money. But things work reasonably well here, and there's about 2% unemployment. Taxes are about 20% of 20. That's the thing, though. Here's the thing, and putting the math together, you know, United States has lower taxes now. Okay, so basically, if you make $100,000 or $50,000, you're going to be paying $10,000 more, or about $15,000 more here. Okay, the thing is that the United States, with a huge budget deficits, we are going to have to raise taxes by 20-30%. We're going to end up like Norway anyway. So it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time.
I agree with you. So when Tim Geithner says, oh, it's going to be like the Great Depression if we don't at least, you know, we can't default on our loans, how accurate is he on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's going to be it's going to be hell on earth if we don't invade Vietnam. It's going to be hell on earth if we don't attack, you know, this desert in the middle of Pakistan. You know, it's going to be hell on earth if we legalize marijuana. It's going to be hell on earth if the new Harry Potter movie isn't very good. All this is just fear mongering.
Right.
And let me tell you some statistics. I mean, look at Russia. Russia defaulted a couple of years ago. About 10 years ago. Within 2 or 3 years, their bonds were trading for just a little bit above our bonds. What, Greece hasn't defaulted before? Italy hasn't defaulted before? Germany hasn't defaulted before? Germany's 10-year right now is below our 10-year. There's more demand, and it's cheaper to buy the 10-year, which means it's considered safer than ours right at this moment. Okay, and what, Germany hasn't defaulted before? France hasn't defaulted? This is all fear-mongering. These guys don't know history beyond, like, the back of their napkin, okay? So the answer is, will it be disruptive? Of course it will be disruptive. Will people lose money? No, you know, here's the question. Will rich people lose money? So that's what they're upset about. You know, the big banks will lose money, it's not like a big conspiracy where they're like, oh, we were in the pockets of the big bank. It's like their religion, okay? So, oh, good. You know, big banks will go under, the economy will go under, we're the key, you know, our brothers in Harvard over there, you know, we won't get their huge Christmas bonuses, to answer your question, absolutely not. There'll be disruption, but you know what, it's 6 months later, everyone will go back to, we'll go back to buying U.S. debt, and it's just that simple.
Yeah. All right. I agree with you. Excellent answer. The markets, and you and I talk about it all the time, about what should you invest in. And you've always said the same thing all along, and I agree with you 100%. You have to diversify. You don't dump one thing. You don't dump all your eggs into one basket. It just doesn't make sense, right?
Absolutely. So a good portion of your money needs to be spread out, all in different stocks, all in different bonds, all over the world. The number one performing asset class over the last 40 years. I want you to guess, Kate. You just give me one guess for expediency's sake.
All right. The number one
asset class. So stocks, small cap stocks, large cap stocks, emerging markets, stuff like that.
Oh, I like emerging. I like emerging markets, but it's not that. Is it oil?
No, it's municipal bonds.
Oh, municipal bonds. I don't like municipal bonds.
Right. Of course, because they're boring and they're stable, and you don't pay taxes
on
it.
And you
don't
get
exactly right.
You don't get big returns usually. You just hold on to it, right?
That's right. That's right. So you get about 5%, and then the rich people get their tax deduction. So, so for the wealthy people, you know, the number one asset class in the last 10 years, it's been treasury bonds. It's not been stocks. Okay.
Right.
So, so basically, if you would have listened to your aggressive financial advisor, you would have, you would have lost money being in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have listened to your ultra, only your ultra conservative, like, you know, grandpa financial advisor, you know, who, you would have made money. Okay. But the bottom line is it's hard to get lucky like that. So you just need to diversify, make your money at your job, you know, do your best at your job, get your, invest in your education at your job, do better at your job, and put your money aside in, diversified. The key is, as long as you're reasonably balanced, you own about some stocks, some bonds, you'll be okay. Okay. You'll be all right. So, So we should diversify. So looking forward, we could talk about this on the next show, Kate. It's kind of
sure.
like what bonds and why. Okay.
Yeah.
But basically, it's especially for the folks that are nearing retirement, you know, you got to own these tough bonds, and you got to own some stocks too. And then what I would like to see is you got to do your own research, though, is you got to start buying into venture capital funds and into private equity funds, because that's the kind of the only way you're going to be able to get the rate of return you need. Okay, so, and we can talk about that more, but basically it's the same thing. You diversify. And maybe buy some baseball cards too, and some comic books, and something that you're good at. Some collectibles would be good too. There's some coins. I mean,
what about gold? A little bit of gold is good.
Yeah, a little bit of gold. You know, the Harry Potter, I think this, would they have a Harry Potter coin already now or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, gold's going up too. Yeah, some gold and silver. Absolutely.
So diversify. We always talk about that. What? Just one last one here as we kick it around. I love the idea that we'll talk about those private equity funds, though, because that's huge. I think for a lot of people who don't know much about that, the markets are always. You and I say this. It's like gambling. They're always going to be up and down, and it is. You do your own research. Absolutely, all of that. But still, there is no sure thing, or we'd all be in it.
That's right. So, you know, it comes down to information, right? And the problem is that the little guy, there's something called one of the little guy theories. Okay, when you see a bunch of, like, small trades in a stock, like buying in a stock, like, that means, like, little people are in it. That means you get out. That means they're the last ones to know, right?
Right.
So if you see a lot of selling in a little bit, like little pieces, like 50 shares, 125 shares, you know, 230 shares or something like that, little odd lots of shares, that's when you get in. So yeah, it's very difficult for the little guy. So, you know, you just put it away, you buy the indexes, you diversify, and you make your money at your job, and you save your money that you have. You don't go out and live large, and you'll be fine. You'll make it through the crisis, which we didn't get a chance to talk about, the Greek, which, Kate, we've been talking about. Kate, I've been
tracking
this. We've been talking about this for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought it up to me. I remember we've been talking about it for 2 years, and now it's just happening. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Greece is on fire, and, you know, the people are upset, and it's what we talked about for a very, very long time, and it's going to be about bailout once again, my friend. Hey, we're almost out of time, and I just want to say congratulations to you on the air. I'm so excited and so thrilled that you married the lovely lady that you did in Norway, and we're glad that you're still available to us here on America Tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, just imagine the most beautiful woman you've ever seen and imagine her 10 times more beautiful. There you go.
Oh, that's so sweet. All right, we're taking the show over there. We're going to Oslo. We got to go. We're taking America's Night over to Oslo, I promise. We're going to do that within a year. Make room. All right, thanks, Saul. Saul Album, Money Man, America Tonight. Hey, coming up on the flip side, a little bit about distracted driving. Ooh. You ever run into any of those people? That's next.
Where can you find a super strength potassium iodide supplement? Right here at thyroidki.com. With global radiation levels at record highs, is your thyroid safe from radioactive iodine poisoning? Potassium iodide, the key ingredient in Thyroid KI, is proven to block radioactive iodine from damaging your thyroid. Thyroid damage is permanent and can lead to thyroid cancer. Unlike other potassium iodide products, Thyroid KI is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets and is independently tested for purity with a 100% money-back guarantee. With limited stock selling fast, act now. Prepare yourself and protect your family. Use coupon code THYROID for a 10% discount. Visit ThyroidKI.com. That's Thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com or call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG clubs and survival bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
I like to see you. Right across the floor. I like to do it too. See you call a phone call.
It's interesting. Talking about political like rivals and the money situation. You think on this day, if we went back in history, July 11th, 1804, what happened then? Remember when Vice President Aaron Burr took aim and fatally shot who in a duel? That would be Alexander Hamilton. Yeah. So if we did that, boy, there'd be nobody left standing on the hill right now. And who was Alexander Hamilton? Well, he was the first Secretary of the U.S. Treasury. I think you know the rest as it is. History. He helped write the Constitution. He convinced states to ratify it. He wrote the Federalist Papers. Yep. And all ended all in a duel, July 11th, 1804. All right, I said I was going to talk about distracted driving and what a nightmare it's become. I happen to get a copy of the USA Today heading into the weekend, and this is stuff that we've talked about before. They just flushed out a little bit some of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration numbers. And there was an interesting thing that they did reveal. Because you've seen campaigns, there have been campaigns about using cell phones in the car and texting while you're driving and all that sort of stuff. And they pointed out that they could prove that cell phone use and texting while driving dipped tremendously in Syracuse, New York, and Hartford, Connecticut, when they had media campaigns coupled with more cops, frankly, looking for people doing that. 57% it fell, cell phones. And then texting while driving, 72% in Hartford. And absolutely, the handheld use and the texting and all that fell dramatically, too. In Syracuse, remember, that's a college area, a huge college. Syracuse, of course, the orange men. And 32%, I'd say that's pretty significant. And they say what they did was they compared cell phone use and texting and all that before they had the public awareness surveys and the officers keeping bigger tabs on that. So clearly something happens when you do that. And it makes sense. If you have billboard campaigns, if there's radio ads, and they're pummeling, smashing you right and left about it, and then you see more police stopping people for that, well, that's going to spread. And maybe the error in judgment that some people just automatically don't even think and do, it makes them think twice. And I just don't understand that. The thing with the cell phone especially, I don't get it. There's so much distracted driving anyway, between talking, between not looking at where you're going. I even think the GPS has become a distracted thing. Because what happens with the GPS is some people follow it so much to a T, and if we've seen this, people driving right into water, driving off of bridges and crazy things, but more importantly, being disruptive to traffic flow because they're trying to figure out where they're making the turn. And I've seen this happen way too many times. I don't get this either. Trust me, I've overshot an exit. I don't know where I'm going. And I have a pretty good sense of direction. I'm like a truck driver. I would be a good truck driver. I have a good, decent sense of direction. But if I miss where I'm going, I don't back up in the freeway and try to hit the exit, or I don't slam across four lanes quickly to get off on the exit, because guess what? I'll turn around. I'll turn around the next exit down. It's not that bad. I can do that. And I don't understand why people don't do that. Why do they do that? Why do they cut across those lanes? And, you know, I guess because we're such techno nuts with the phone thing, it's second nature. It's like a part of what you do every single day, like putting on your clothes. Boom, you have the brick in your hand. You're walking around with the brick, right? Meaning the cell phone, the iPhone, the whatever it is, Android, pick your poison, and you just don't think about it. You just, boom, you're on it. And the phone rings, it's in the car, you pick it up. Oof, so brutal. And I say that because I just cringe when I read these stories about, oh, there was someone driving down the street and they got plowed into and the passenger was killed and it turns out the person was texting. Ugh. It's already, there is so much you have to deal with on a highway that why you're not pulling over. I mean, this isn't the lecture section of America Tonight. It's just that I find it interesting that it shows, just like with seatbelts, I guess, when you've got a whole bunch of enforcement and then a whole bunch of public service announcements, billboards, awareness type things, it does make a difference. If you pummel people with the information, somehow it gets through, because those are dramatic numbers in those two areas. 57% is a big number when you're talking about people driving around in Hartford, Connecticut with their cell phones and also texting. Texting down 72%. That's a big number. I mean, it's not like saying, oh, isn't it great? It fell off by 10 or 20%. I'd say that if I were in Hartford and they had the money to keep doing it or do it again, that would be a successful campaign, because it worked. Every single day I see people on the cell phone cutting across traffic. I see people backing up. Oh, I see crazy things living in a big city. I see crazy things that people do in cars. And I say it again and again and again. People, I just don't understand. I understand if you're in a rush, you have to get somewhere, whatever, leave early. Or if something is happening that makes a difference to you, you're a contractor, you're an entrepreneur, whatever. you're waiting for a job callback, then just pull over. There's a million places to pull over, even in the country, whether it's the country, it's the city. Trust me. I mean, how many fast food franchises are there, parking lots that you could pull into for a few minutes? You know, do that. Just think twice about that instead of automatically reaching for the phone, being distracted, and then killing yourself or killing somebody else. It's not, the phone call, trust me, is not worth it. It's not worth the things that have happened to people, terrible things that have happened to people as a result of this distraction. So I hope more cities do that. I hope more cities find a way to raise the level of public awareness and enforce that a little bit more. And maybe we'll see those numbers climb across the U.S. If two different areas, but big enough areas where it worked, can you imagine what it would do in some other parts of the country? I'm not for big law enforcement and for big brotherish, but I have to say, I mean, I'm not for like the whole red light thing, you know, the automatic deal where they flash your picture. I hate that. But in the case of the texting and being on the cell phone because you're endangering other people, I think there's something to be said for that. I want to end this hour on a funny note. In Montana, and think of where we are. Okay, you're in Montana. We're talking July. They had a 100-mile ultra-marathon foot race, right, through the Flathead National Forest. You know they had to cancel it? The race director had to cancel it because they had snow. They've got lingering snow on the route that they would take. So the course, of course, is too dangerous for runners, and nobody would be able to finish. They have a requirement of the amount of time, and it's a 36-hour limit. And I know it's Montana, but snow in Montana not completely melting until for the end of July, through the end of July, is that crazy? So if you were looking for snow somewhere and you're tired of being hot, I can tell you a place where you can find it. Go to Missoula, Montana, because you can find some snow there. And they're talking about postponing the race. You know, they were thinking of postponing the race, but that would be problematic because you've got shortened daylight hours, and they've had problems with grizzly bears, so they can't risk that either. And the funny thing is, last year, 44 people competed. Only 20 ended up finishing, but 20 finished that. Because the ultra marathon race has to be pretty tough. The area that they're going through, that Flathead National Forest, is beautiful. But there is some steep, steep terrain out there. Doesn't matter this time around because snowshoes or not, they're not allowing anyone to even compete in it. But if you want to see some of the white stuff, we know where you can head.